Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents, 1913-1914, page 360 slide. Visible translated text is as follows. Look at the corpse. I don't remember that Mr. Frank ever followed me in this room. He may have stopped on the outside of the door, but my back was toward him, and I don't know where he stopped. Mr. Giesling turned the head of the dead girl over towards me, and I looked around to see who was behind me, and I saw Mr. Frank as he made that movement behind me. He didn't go into the closet as far as I could see, but he got out of my view. He could have looked at the corpse from the time that Mr. Giesling was going around behind, but he could not have seen her face because it was lying over towards the wall. The face was away from me, and I presume that was the cause of Mr. Giesling turning it over. There was some question asked Mr. Frank if he knew the girl, and I think he replied that he didn't know whether he did or not, but that he could tell whether she worked at the factory by looking at his payroll book. As we were leaving Mr. Frank's house, Mr. Frank asked Mrs. Frank to telephone Mr. Darley to come to the factory. Mr. Frank was apparently still nervous at the undertaker's establishment. He stepped lively. It was just his general manner that indicated to me that he was nervous. I never saw Mr. Frank in my life until that morning. After we got out of Mr. Frank's house and was in my car, was the first time Mr. Frank had been told that the young lady was named Mary Fagan and that there had been any murder committed at the factory. From the undertaker's, we went to the pencil factory in my car. We went into Mr. Frank's office. He went up to the safe, turned the combination, opened the safe, took out his time book, laid the book down on the table, ran his finger down until he came to the name Mary Fagan, and said, "Yes, Mary Fagan worked here. She was here yesterday."